Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Shake yourself free. Glory to God. We thank and praise God for another opportunity tonight. Amen. On our Blog Talk Radio, I'm your host today, Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, where we build champions in Christ. We want to build tonight. We want to let you know you can shake yourself loose. Come on, somebody. It's time to be free. I want to talk to the free people tonight. Is that all right? Can we get right into the Word of God? We just thank the Lord. Glory to God for what he's going to do tonight. Father God, we just bless your name. We give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and the praise tonight, Lord God. I'm asking, oh God, that you cover, oh God, this Word that we touch and agree in the Holy Spirit. Lord God, that it moves, Father, across the hearts of men. Everyone under the sound of my voice. Everyone that may come across it. Lord God, I ask, oh God, that you touch right now for your glory. Take us to another place in you. Oh, God, move. You control the heart strings of every man. Oh, God, I'm asking that you pull strings tonight. Open up doors tonight. Have them to heist up the window and open up the doors of their spirit. Oh, Father God, that they will gladly receive you into their heart. In Jesus' mighty name is our prayer, and we say amen, amen, and amen, amen. Those of you that was with us last week, we know that we were in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and I said that that was part 1, and we're going into part 2. However, I must confess, I entitled it the wrong message title. For those who may have written it down and know that I had entitled it, Two Lovers, hallelujah, and I'm ashamed. See, because I do a lot of things for the Lord throughout the weekend, a lot of teaching and preaching, and sometimes God gives me different messages, and it's the first time it ever happened. I included the title to one of the messages. I don't do a lot of monologue. I don't do a lot of writing. Hallelujah. I've been asking God for years, and he does that. He's groomed that I talk straight from my spirit, and if I get a topic, glory be to God, I just equate it with the scripture. Hey, man, but to my mistake, to God be the glory, and I thank God for his mercy. I entitled it actually what I preached that Thursday, praise God. If we're going to get into the Word, just let me just testify, amen, to the things of God. And I do apologize if you're saying, well, what did that got to do with what you're saying, Bishop? And I said, well, God, I was going to hit that. I said, well, next week we're going to get to the cross. And the two lovers and I'm ashamed had came out of the book of James. I'm just going to say that and put that out there really quick. When they talked about no man can serve two masters. Okay, so I was talking about having two lovers, but we should be ashamed. And I talked really briefly about how no man can serve two masters, because serving a master requires you to give up all. Hallelujah. Serving a master requires you to release your very will, your emotions, your flesh, your mind. Glory to God. You have to release all of that and yield it to the master. That's serving. That's a true servant. When you give everything, when you give your all in all, that's a true servant. So if you're giving that to a master, you have nothing left to give to another master. So no man can serve two masters. That's why I said I got two lovers and I'm ashamed. What are you talking about? Serving God and the devil? No, I'm not. I'm going to get off of this because this ain't a script. And we're going to finish 1 Peter as you turn it to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to finish that out. But let me say this revelation, because it was bringing so deep in my spirit, I just want to share it even on blog. Listen, people of God. When you hear the scripture, no man can serve two masters. So he will either love the one, hate the other, or he'll cling to one and despise the other. Most people, when they hear that scripture, the revelation that most get is, oh, he's saying no man can serve God and the devil. That's two masters. No man can serve two masters, God and the devil. And God, why did he let the people of God understand? No, that's three. Because mainly, it's you. He's telling us, no man can serve you and God. That's two masters. See, you can't serve God and yourself. See, that's one that you can leave the devil out of. When they say no man can serve two masters, I know most people think about God and the devil, but let's just leave the devil out for a second. You're still serving two, God and self. So that's why I said, and I'm ashamed. See, if you haven't given God your all and all, hallelujah. Now, if you're not the servant of the living God, if you are, you have no room for self. And if you serve yourself, you can't serve God, because no man can serve two masters. Definitely not three. Amen? I just threw that in for free. To God be the glory. Put that in your spiritual wallet. Don't leave home without it. No man can serve two masters. You definitely can't serve three. So if we had the devil in. So anyway, that was where the thought came from. But let us continue down the road of 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to pick up at the 9th verse, where Peter is encouraging the saints of God. He said, but ye are. You are. Okay? And he's calling us to question ourselves, to look down inside of ourselves as we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. He's saying, look at yourself. And who do you think you are? Some people don't know who they are. Some people are trying to find out who they are. Some people don't like who they are. But Peter is helping us. He said, ye are. Well, what did he say we are? Ye are a chosen generation. Good God Almighty. You are a hand-picked generation. Out of our shot. You are known of God. You are a friend of God. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the work of Jesus. So you are, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, I'm going to tell you according to the word of God, you are a chosen generation. Good God Almighty. We didn't find God. God found us. And right where he found you at, he still chose you. Right where he found us at, he still chose us. You have to know that you've been chosen. You're part of this chosen generation. Well, he goes into the description of the new of this generation, and I want to let you know today that this generation is royalty. Come on, somebody. I said this generation is royalty. Good God Almighty. You got to know you're royalty. God Almighty, well, what is royalty? Royalty, glory be to God, is a standard attributed to an anointed position or an anointed portion of something. And what we are royalty of is the priesthood. And we'll get back to that. But I'm going to let you know royalty carried itself a certain way. Royalty don't walk around with their head turned down. Royalty ain't easily upset. Royalty don't operate in his own way of doing things, in his own anger. They don't go to war at their own charge. See, royalty has a certain posture when it comes in the room. It has a certain etiquette. See, it's something about royalty. They operate on another plane. So I want to let you know today that there are levels to this thing. And when you become royalty, even at the lowest level, you're above those generations that's not chosen. You're above the unsaved. You're above the wicked. And sometimes you got to remind yourself, I can't act like that. I'm royalty. I can't go there because I'm royalty. I can't think like that. I can't interpret things like that. I can't even talk like that because I'm royalty. Now, he tells us that we are royal priesthood. Now, the priesthood is a person that has been attributed power. You've been given authority. You've been placed in a place of operable God Almighty. That means that you've been assigned a job. The priesthood was a job. But it was an anointed job. The priesthood was a job. but it called for faithfulness. The priesthood was a calling. You may have been called to carry the Ark of the Covenant, which was the power, the presence, protection of God. And it only could be carried on the responsible shoulders of faithful men and women. That's what he's talking about, priesthood now. You're not just royalty, but you have a job to do as a royal priesthood. You have to stay within the qualification to remain a priesthood. He said, so watch what he said, a holy nation. Can I just teach? It doesn't matter if I don't make it through this chapter. But it's something that we have to be refreshed of. He said a holy nation. And that holy right there is H-O-L-Y. That holy is talking character. Character. See what? Even in Romans 12, I present you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Watch what they say. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, even though it's spelt the same way, they're talking more of the fullness of the person, not the character. But it's both called holy. See, somebody need to hear this. Because striving for holiness, I hear somebody teach about you got to be holy. And I said it in that way purposely. See, if we're not taught, then we won't know how to apply scripture. Now, in Romans 12, it says holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That would be an oxymoron if they were talking about character. Because we were never holy enough to make us acceptable unto God. He said that we were in our weakness. See, we were in weakness when we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we were never holy and acceptable unto God. So that's not what they mean. That portion of holy there means the fullness of yourself. Body. Soul, spirit, which brings a character. Stay with me. I got to touch this. Because holy is a word to describe the character of God. Hear me. Holy is a word that describes the character of God. Holy does not describe the character of man. Can we be holy? Yes, we can. Talking about character now. We can be holy, and he tells us to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Glory be to God. But now this is what they're saying. When you come to God and you get saved, that's the type of holiness. Because when you come to God, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the image of into the kingdom of his dear son. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's what that word creature means. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See? So watch this now. So when you first come to God, you get sanctified. Which is separated. You get separated from the world. You get sanctified. You get brought into the kingdom of God, and the wings, glory be to God, his feathers shall cover thee. And under his wings shall thou trust. You see, because it's a type of holiness. But now, the second stage of holiness is progressive. Hear me. It's progressive. That means it grows. See, the second stage of holiness grows. And it grows according to how you dedicate yourself. It grows if you get in the Word. It grows, glory be to God, if you have a prayer life. It grows if you abstain from fleshly lust that war against the world. Your fleshly lust that war against it grows. It's progressive. And the more dedicated you get, then the more progressive the holiness comes. It's called sanctified. Can we hear somebody say, I'm sanctified? They're talking about glory to God. I'm progressing in character. I'm progressing in my nature. I'm progressing in the spirit. See, I'm progressing in my soul. See, so we say, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's three stages. Sanctification, when you get saved, then progression all the days of your life. Can I tell you something? And all of our progression, all of our dedication, you can never reach the holiness of God. Can I give us a Bible? Oh, I'm talking truth now. Okay, I'm a holy roller too, but I know what it means. Hallelujah. That's why I don't pick on people's character. I don't pick on how fast they're growing, how slow they're growing, what they still got to get rid of, what they're still doing. I don't got time for that. It's progressive. Some vessels to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself, he shall be a vessel of honor. But it's all progressive. See? So even in our greatest progression, you can never reach holiness like God. You know why? The Bible says, glory be to God, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. See? See? And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. See? And 1 Corinthians 15:58 talks about that we should not all sleep, but we should be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet of God. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's when you reach that third phase of holiness. See, people of God, see, that's when you reach the final stage, when this corruption shall take on incorruption. This mortal to put on immortality. I hope y'all hear me today. I'm walking in some deep water right now, but y'all can understand it. Listen to what he's saying. And this corruption to put on incorruption. Let me tell you something. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So long as you got flesh, you can never be holy. So the next person pick on how holy you are trying to measure their stuff by you, you tell them you ain't holy neither. You're progressing. Ain't nobody perfect. Not long as you're carrying flesh, you're not holy. For flesh and blood shall not inherit. So you're carrying a form of sin. You're carrying what they call the seat of sin, which is flesh, a cut-off piece of meat. It's cut off from the form. It's cut off from life. It's cut, come on, somebody. It's cut off from the spirit. So guess what? Long as you're carrying that, you ain't holy. You're progressing. And the more you learn how to mortify the flesh, then the more sanctified and closer you get, but you don't reach the holiness of God. That word is for to describe the character of God, not man. In our final stage, we take on holiness. Whoa, and that was a long teaching, but somebody say amen to that one. That was long, but I know you got it. I know you got it. If not, praise God, you can go back. You can come back and listen to these same things, praise God. If you go to the number, I'm sure that there is a way, and anyone interested, praise God. I want to tell you, I'm sure they don't mind, Pastor Matthew McNeil and Apostle Callum McNeil, those of you who follow them or have contact information with them or our Facebook information, they'll tell you how to go back and listen, because you really listen, and all I get an understanding. We're not listening to feel good. We're listening to learn. Sometimes I used to tell my kids, you got to learn to listen. And you got to listen to learn. That's what we break the word down for. That's what we get into the word for, so we can hear. So thank God for his holiness. And thank God for the progressive holiness that we're allowed to reach. The more you dedicate yourself, the more you reach. Amen. To God be the glory. He says, a holy nation. So when you give all of you to God, it's impossible not to bring forth fruit. It's impossible not to have the glory of God in your life. Come on, somebody. If you have given yourself wholly to God, if you have practiced progressing in God, then you, there's no way I can see you 10 years later and you're in the same state. All right, this is what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the same deeds. I'm not talking about your victories or your defeats, your strengths or weakness. I'm talking about the same state of mind, state of spirit, state of soul, hato kosha, no growth, cold, walking in flesh still. Everybody has to achieve in God day by day. And the enemy ain't going to just let you grow. You're going to have to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. But I'm saying all that to say this. When you become a holy nation, watch what it says. You can bring forth, see? Oh, wait, I almost gave up peculiar. A peculiar people mean you do things differently. That you should show forth. A lot of us is not bringing forth what God has embedded in you, glory be to God, because we have not wholly given ourselves over to the Spirit. You have to yield to the Holy Ghost of the Spirit. You can produce the destination that God would have you to make it to. Good God Almighty, if you want to produce operating the gifts of God that is within you, good God Almighty, hallelujah, you have to wholeheartedly become a holy nation. When you walk in that holiness, you things come forth. Things bust forth. Halabashanda, it breaks forth like the noonday. Everything around you is blessed. Everything you touch is blessed. Come on, somebody. Every prayer you pray is heard. Good God Almighty. I ain't saying answers. I said heard. Good God Almighty. When you call on him, he comes. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. When you follow what he tells you to do, you got success. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But you have to give yourself over to the holiness that you're practicing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. See, so this is what we're heading for. We're heading for the holiness. We're pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. How many pressing today? How many reaching today? How many want it today? Glory to God. How many said that, glory to God, I ain't waiting no longer. I want the glory. I want to grow. I want to change. Look, God Almighty, when you start desiring things like that, you begin to show forth. And it blesses somebody else. It's no way, glory to God, you can begin seeking God like that and not show forth. Now, I'm ready to move on, but I just want to say this one thing. It's time for the people of God to show some things. Amen. I hope y'all loving me tonight. I pray God you love me still, but I got to tell it. All of us is just talking. But when it comes time to show forth what you're saying, hallelujah, there's no production. There's no proof of what you're saying. There's no demonstration. We talk about power, but there's no demonstration of the power. We talk about love, but we don't demonstrate love. Come on here. We talk about long suffering, but we short patience with everybody. Y'all ain't talking back to me. We talk about what God will do, but we're not letting him do it. Good God Almighty. Somebody ought to know it's time to show forth. Hallelujah. It's time for us to show something. And not just talk it. He said that we can show forth the praise of him who have called us out of darkness. Good God Almighty, we're so grateful that he changed our life, that he came in, and he's making some things all new again. Good God Almighty, he's healing our bodies. He's setting us free. He's transforming our minds. Good God Almighty, and something you ought to show forth that you're glad about it. Some of us, you think that God hasn't done nothing for us. Hallelujah. We come into church and we praise him whenever we feel like praising him. we get distracted whenever we feel like being distracted. Y'all ain't talking back to me. We hear the word when we want to hear the word. Come on, we clap our hands when we want to clap them. But we ought to be showing forth the praises for him that brought you out. You're out of the darkness into this marvelous light. Do you know how marvelous our Lord is? Do you know how beautiful the light is? Can I tell you something? There used to be a movie back in the 80s with God Almighty. And the woman used to be in the TV. She used to be inside the TV. And she would tell the little girl, come to the light. Y'all know him. Come to the light. Follow the light. I think it was a poltergeist. Just telling her, follow the light. Come to the light. You know why? It's a marvelous light. And once you see how marvelous the light of God is, woo, glory to God. When you see how marvelous, huh, the life in God is, when you see how marvelous it is to have your spirit transformed, your mind transformed, your heart clean again. You're not thinking a bunch of mess all day long while you're living. You're not letting your mind wander into areas that's going to take away your praise. It's not a sin to have a bad thought, but I bet you it's a weight, and it will weigh you down. Hallelujah. You don't think right, you'll be weighed down. You'll go to praise and you go to show forth the praises, and you'll be weighed down. But we need to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. You know why? Verse 10 tells us why. Because in times past, we were not a people. How many people can think about times past? Oh, it's a whole lot of things that we don't want to remember in times past. Hey, Kabasha. The Bible says we all conversation, walking in love, being guided by the God of this world, the evilness of this world. Come on, the spirit that worked in the children of disobedience. We all been there. Good God Almighty. But God, woo, who is rich in mercy, the word of God said. See? So he said, in times past, you got to look at what he's done in the change you have made. No one can judge you about where you at today. They don't know where you was yesterday. They don't know how far you came. And if God loved you when you was all messed up, what makes them think God mad at you because you haven't perfected something in your progression of holiness? We have to say to God, we got to be more sound-minded. We can't be all up and down over the place with our teaching and our living, our believing. But if God loved a person when it was far worse and didn't know him at all, and pressing toward the mark, trying their best, and then we hear something about them, going to the curb, they ain't changed, all right, they just, that. But guess what, they was doing more than that. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, blah, talk. They was caught up in more than that. And you don't know what God is going to do or is doing. Hallelujah. But we ourselves can look back in times past when we know we weren't the people. We know we wasn't worth a wooden nickel. Come on. We know we wasn't worth the ink on our birth certificate. God, somebody say, but God. Hallelujujah. But God. See? We had no God. But we're now the people of God. And we had not obtained the mercy of God, but now we are obtaining mercy. Can I teach? Mercy is not forgiveness. We get words mixed up because nobody teaches no more. Everybody want to shout, scream, encourage somebody with a word. Mercy is not forgiveness. No more than repentance is confession. I'm saying that to say this. We get caught up in things, and then we get godly sorrow. Or something happened to make us feel sorry for what we're doing. Deal with ourselves. And you can repent from whatever it is. Because you've repented, and they're singing the gospel. They're preaching the gospel. You're feeling good. You may jump up and shout the house down. Lift up your hands and praise and cry and everything. You know why? Because you know in your heart you repented. And repented means to make a 180-degree turn and go the other way. Yeah. And you can feel anointing. But guess what? It's not confession. Confession is talking to God and telling him what you've done. He said when you confess, he's always there. That's faithful and perpetual. Faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But guess what? That's forgiveness. Forgiveness is the act of God wiping it away and restoring you. Mercy is the act of God not making you pay for being dead guilty. Hanobo, shut up. Some of us is dead guilty. We was dead guilty in times past. We've been dead guilty since we've been saved. Come on, somebody. And guess what? The Bible declares that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Good God Almighty. Thank God for a God that can walk in between his own word. Y'all don't hear me. But he got a word to fix that one. It's called mercy. Good God. He said you were a people of God and you had no mercy. That means anything you did, you was getting smoked. Anything you did, you had to pay. Any mistake you made, it cost you. Because there was no mercy applied. But he said, now you have received mercy. That means that glory be to God, you might have did something that deserved the death penalty. Good God Almighty. And you were dead guilty. They found you guilty. Glory be to God. And you gave a confession that you were guilty. But God said the mercy means you don't have to pay the price. And somebody ought to tell God, thank you. Hallelujah. All the wrong you've done. Talking to somebody, get it right with God. Man may not ever forgive you. Man may not ever forget. But get it right with God. Because you need to bring forth. You need to show forth some things. You need to show that you've repented. You need to show that God has touched you. You need to know that God has changed you. You need to be able to show, glory to God, that you're walking in the light as he's in the light. You got to show that you have fellowship one with another. You need to show somebody that his blood has cleansed you from all your sin and unrighteousness. You got to show forth, glory be to God, that you've been in God's face. Good God Almighty. Because if somebody been in the face of God, you don't have to guess. If somebody been in the presence of God, you don't have to wonder. If somebody been in the presence of God, you'll know it. Hallelujah. When they come in your presence, you'll know. Glory to God. So he said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. Touching the word beseech, we talked about it earlier, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That word beseech means to plead with you earnestly. To shake you, to grab you, to let you know the importance of. That's what that word beseech means. He says, I beseech you, dearly beloved. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Tell you're a stranger. You live here on earth, you ought to be a pilgrim. Pilgrims are people that's in one land searching for another one. Y'all know about the pilgrims and the Indians at Thanksgiving? Because they were searching for a new land. And glory be to God, you got to get your mind set on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall you appear with him in glory. Good God Almighty, we got to seek those things that are above, because you are a stranger and a pilgrim. And a pilgrim is not comfortable here. A pilgrim is not going to the club every weekend. A pilgrim is not running around trying to do all the lust of the world. A pilgrim, glory be to God, ain't partaking in all the things of the world, because you are a stranger and a pilgrim. If so be. If so be, somebody. You gotta ask yourself, am I on a journey here? Hallelujah. Am I trying to arrive somewhere else to call my home? That's what pilgrims do. They're looking for someplace else to call their home. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah to God. He said, we are pilgrims. So because you are a stranger and a pilgrim, he said, abstain. You know what that word means? It means decline to vote. Y'all hear that, people of God? Come on, it's almost time for us to go, but let's get some more of this meat before we go. Come on, put this on your plate now. Listen, abstain means decline to vote. That means you're not going to vote for it. You're not voting with it or against it. What you're saying is, ain't no vote. Woo, glory to God. So when the flesh starts cutting up, you got to let it know, I refuse to vote with that idea. Good God Almighty, I refuse to vote with that emotion. I refuse to vote, come on, for that. That's abstain. Certain things you got to abstain from. You can't have a vote. You can't have a say. You can't have a position on it. You can't have a thought on it. Because guess what? I'm not voting. Good God Almighty. Try your vote shot. Try somebody else to pull the lever. I'm not stepping behind the curtain. I'm not reading the ballot. I'm not even voting. Now, that ain't literally, because I am voting. I pray you voting too. Time that we got to get out and vote. But he said, don't vote for the lust, fleshly lust. He said, abstain from fleshly lust. Don't have a vote when it comes to it. Which war against your soul. Can we expose the devil for a second before we go? Do you know? So most lust is things that we desire, or things that we say amen to, or things we vote for. See, lust is something that you vote for because it's something you like, something you want. But how can something you want and you love and you desire war against your soul? Huh? Come on, somebody. They said it wars against the soul. So all along, you loving it, and it's killing you. We love it, and it's destroying us. How can we keep loving something us, and we know it's destroying us? It's destroying your mind. It's destroying your heart. It's destroying your family. It's destroying your marriage. And you love it so much that you won't abstain from it. Something is wrong. We got to seek the face of God, because how can you love something that you know is destroying you? Hallelujah. It's destroying everything around you. And we hold on to it. See, people of God, we got to abstain from fleshly lust. Because fleshly lust seems to be something you want, something we partake in. But it wars against your soul. Profit if you should gain the whole world and lose your soul. Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? You see? Is it worth your soul? No. That's why you have to abstain, because it's warring, it's fighting. It's trying to kill and take out our souls. So what can we do then? He said, change your conversation. See, next verse. Next verse says, change your conversation. Hallelujah. We got to talk differently. You got to call those things that be not as though they were to existence. You have to bind and loose. You have to rebuke. Come on, somebody. You have to change your conversation. Ah, glory to God. Well, how do I change my conversation? It ain't just learning words. It has to come from within. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever seed's been planted, whatever growing inside of you, the Bible declares that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That means, glory to God, faith will shape your conversation. Faith will form your conversation. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. Hence he hearing the word and the word of God. That's where faith comes from. See, he says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living waters. But when he say having your conversation, the next word is honest. From the abundance of the heart. See? Honest to God. So many scriptures in the Bible telling us to watch the tongue. So many scriptures in the Bible telling us, glory to God, that your religion can be vain if you can't control your tongue. Hallelujah. So many scriptures, studies, to be quiet. Soft answer. Turn away wrath. We can go on and on. The Bible says, therefore, I'm trying to quote from the beginning. It says, speak truth. Put it like that. It says, speak truth with thy neighbor. I couldn't grab the beginning of the quote that I wanted, but y'all know it's in there. You see, you have to always have your conversation seasoned. See? Seasoned with the Lord. Seasoned with salt. Seasoned with the Spirit. Your conversation shows who you are. He just said you got to have your conversation honest. I'm going to stop right there real brief. They said amongst the Gentiles. Amongst people that don't know God yet. Among your mailman, your neighbor, your doctor. See? Come on. Supermarket attendant. Oh, you got to speak honest. You got to speak words that's honest amongst the Gentiles. Know why? He says, because where is they speak against you as evildoers. And we know it. People that's not in the church don't have but two good things to say about church people. People, sinners, listen, when you're asking about church, especially if they ain't ready for God, especially if they've been in church and got hurt and wounded in church and left, let me tell you something. They're going to speak of you as a part of an evildoer. Please don't let them know something evil that you're doing. Please don't let them see something evil that you're doing. God Almighty, because the blood will be required, glory be to God, unless it's stimulated by God for purpose. Because if God takes you through something for purpose, though you don't want anyone else to stumble by it, you've got to do and go through whatever God have you going through. Don't you be ashamed. You stick your hands up in the air. You tell God, thank you, give me strength, glory be to God. And you walk through the valley and the shadow of death. And you come out on the other side because it's not what you go through. Hallelujah. It's how you come out. So me, you don't want to be a stumbling block for sinners. But you are the only Bible some sinners will ever read. You're not going to turn to these 66 books. But if you say that you are a Christian, if you say that you are a Christian, then you are the only Bible somebody's going to read. That's why you have to be honest. You have to have an honest spirit. You have to have honest words. You have to obtain your word. You have to keep your word, because you are the only Bible or idea or concept they'll see in a Christian. They'll say, oh, they'll see you do something. They say, oh, I didn't know Christians do that. Oh, I thought Christians don't talk like that. Because you are the only Christian or Bible they know. So it says, be honest. He says, because they are going to speak against you as an evildoer. Don't be surprised, Messina's church folk. That's what the Bible said they're going to do. See? That's what they're going to do. See? And they will speak evil against you. What? But by your good works, your good conversation, see, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So now watch what they're saying. They're saying, glory be to God, that you have to change a person's view of God. To sacrifice yourself enough to change a person's concept of God. The way they think about church people. They could be right, but let them watch you long enough so that you can prove them wrong. All church people ain't like that. All church people don't talk like that. All church people ain't hypocrites. See, but somebody got to show them something. And he said that you can show it by your honest conversation. And if when they would want to talk bad about you, you come on somebody, that watch what it says, that they have to behold the glory of God, good God Almighty, in the day of visitation. Now that day of visitation might be right there in your presence. That day of visitation might be right there when they're watching you. And they got God on their heart and God on their mind. And they're trying to understand God. And the only God they see is you. That might be their day of visitation. Come on. Now we know the main day of visitation, when the Lord shall appear, every eye shall see him. But it's too late to get anything right then. It doesn't matter what they're thinking or feeling. So the day of visitation is the day that God is knocking at the door of their heart, and he might be doing it through your conversation. He might be doing it through your conduct. Good God Almighty, he might be doing it through you, and you don't want to be one walking in the flesh or in your own mind, your own ideas, that's frustrated and tired of something going on in your life. So you take it out on the saints of God. And you say, oh, God is sick and tired of your mess. No, no, baby, wait a minute. That's your spirit. Why don't you talk to me tomorrow? Why don't you talk to me next week? You know why? Because the conversation is not from an honest place. It's from a hidden place. Somebody ain't really getting itself over to only saying what the Holy Ghost said and nothing else. So you got to watch people, glory to God, and what they say. They got to watch in the day of visitation. Can God use you? In the day of somebody's visitation, can God use you to lay hands on them? And they come on, in the day of somebody else's visitation, glory to God, can God use you, hallelujah, to heal them? Glory to God, in the day of visitation. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. See? He says that in the day of visitation, they'll see the glory. Hallelujah. People are waiting for the sons of God to manifest the glory. Praise be to God. He says that even if they would speak evil, show them the glory. By your good works, that they shall behold and glorify God. Now, glory be to God. We have a few more minutes here. And I just want to let you know, glory to God. He says, submit yourself. Submit yourself. And this is kind of different, because he says submit yourself to every ordinance. He says to every ordinance of man. for the Lord's sake. Now, that's what we must understand. He's saying, submit yourself to the ordinance of men. That's the laws. Obey the laws of the land. But now watch what he says. For the Lord's sake. Meaning that men just may have a law you can't honor. Kato koshata. If it ain't for the Lord's sake, I ain't honor it. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to honor it as long as it don't disobey the laws of God. But once you go against the Bible, they can make any law they want. They can make a law that same-sex marriage is cool. But guess what? That ain't for the Lord's sake. That's for the devil's sake. He says, submit yourself to every ordinance for the Lord's sake. And some laws that's being made these days, some things that everybody's saying is okay these days, some things that people are doing is not for the Lord's sake. It's for the sake of turning everybody to Satan. It's for the sake of destroying people's soul. It's for the sake of not caring who go to heaven or hell. And a lot of stuff is coming out, and the world is saying it's okay. But I want to let you know today, if it's not the Lord's sake, glory be to God, it's not God. And you don't have to obey it. And whatever the consequences is, trust God. You're going to be all right. You're not him that can kill the body, but cannot do nothing to your soul. I'd rather fear him that can kill the body and cast the soul into hell's flames. So we submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. If it's for the sake of God, if God going to get some glory out of it, if I don't got to let go of God to obey it, then we all right. 2 minutes here, and I'm going to read this now, and I pray God that he really touched tonight. I want to save a little time to pray. Hallelujah. I want to pray for each and every one. Good God Almighty, I want to tell you to tell somebody to come on and listen. Good God Almighty, this to God be the glory in each and everything that we do. I do it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So I make my boast in the Lord. It's not braggadocious or conceitedness or anything. I am nobody except a man that loved God, and that's enough for me. And I'm saying that to say this. Tell somebody, you're not, this word is not being taught all over. We're living in a famine during a pandemic. There's a famine going on for the word of God. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I know that it ain't being preached like this all over. And I give the glory to God. Tell somebody, come on. Tell somebody to stay on this blog. It's a lot of good words being put out to feed people on it. We must spread the word. We must prepare for the battle. And you need the word. Hallelujah. And if it's in the word, it's undisputed. Can't nobody dispute you when it's in the word. Can't nobody say nothing when you teaching and preaching the word. Because if it's in the word, it's undisputed. Amen? And I want to make you that champion. Undisputed Truth Ministry want to make you a champion. It's time for you to have some bouts. Ain't no need of you training and never fight. Can you imagine if Mike Tyson never got in the ring and had a real fight? And he just training for years, 20 years training, and you ain't having no fight. Come on, somebody. It's time to get in the ring and become a champion. Good God Almighty, I trust you want to be one. I trust that God is bringing you to a place and promoting you with a battle. Don't be afraid to fight now. Don King put together some good fights. And you know, sometimes we ain't know who was going to win. But neither fighter was scared. God don't need no coward soldier. And there's no need to fight, to train for years and never fight. If you never fight, you can never be a champion. Come on Tuesdays and let us bless you on the Spirit of Truth Ministries, 1921 Darbytown Road in Ranco, Virginia, where we make champions in Christ. Amen. I love you all. God bless you. Father, bless them as they go out of this phone line, but never from your presence, Lord God. Let the word of God sink deep Hata, let it penetrate and break up fallow ground. Oh God, let it pour in the oil of healing right where they're hurting. Good God Almighty, let your precious ointment be the balm that they need for this day. Give them tomorrow their daily bread. Watch over them, and as they go, Father God, let the words of their mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our redeemer, keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the saints of God said amen, amen, and amen. I'll see you next week if it be the Lord's will. God bless you.
Just say